From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, where we are working every day to advance family, freedom, and life, and to keep you informed on the biggest news in government, policy, and culture from a biblical perspective. And on today's show, we have an important update to share about the status of the Nebraska legislature. We'll talk about when you can expect state senators to reconvene at our state capitol and what's in store as they attempt to finish their legislative session. Plus, Nancy Pelosi is once again trying to add pro-abortion, anti-family funding to a new coronavirus stimulus bill. It has also been revealed that Planned Parenthood, the nation's number one abortion provider, knowingly improperly applied for and stole $80 million of taxpayer money that was intended to be used for coronavirus relief funding for small businesses. We'll get into that in greater detail, but first, it was announced this past week that Nebraska state senators will resume their regular session on July 20th. 4 months after they last met to approve emergency coronavirus funding. In a letter that was distributed by the Speaker of the Legislature, Jim Scheer, the new schedule calls for lawmakers to meet every weekday from July 20th until August 13th, except for recess days on August 7th and August 10th. State senators abruptly postponed their session in late March amid fears that close contact could help spread the coronavirus. The legislature has 17 days remaining in this year's 60-day working session. So the state legislature will be reconvening to begin conducting business again on July 20th, and they have 17 days left in the session. What's unclear is how exactly the coronavirus and the economic damage that has followed will affect bills that were pending and will be taken up for consideration by the full legislature. The Nebraska Department of Revenue has already reported a sharp decline in state tax collections last month, and of course, unemployment rates have also spiked, and as revenue had previously been ahead of projections for the current fiscal year, we've now suffered a major setback. So undoubtedly, the legislature will have to make some major budget adjustments and take up budget adjustment legislation. And it could also impact other major proposals that were still pending when they took an indefinite leave of absence, like property tax relief and a major business incentive program. Of course, we also have LB 814 from Senator Geist of Lincoln that would end the practice of dismemberment abortion in Nebraska. That bill has a pull motion pending. It was filed just before they adjourned to try to get that bill out of committee so it can be debated and voted on by the full legislature. And that's still our priority and our goal, to make that happen, to get that bill out of committee through that pull motion vote, which should happen, hopefully, pretty soon after the legislature reconvenes, so that that important pro-life legislation can have the opportunity it deserves to be voted on and debated and hopefully pass into law this year. The bill has 25 co-sponsors. It was made a priority bill. It was introduced on day one. So it's something that needs to happen. It should happen. And we will continue to keep you updated on what's happening with the legislature and LB 814 as we get closer to the new date of July 20th, when the legislature will once again be back inside the state capitol to reconvene their legislative session. Several weeks ago on the show, we talked about how Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi tried sneaking in funding for abortion into coronavirus relief and stimulus bills in the U.S. House. And, well, now she is at it again. Last week, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi again tried to include pro-abortion and anti-family measures into the new Health and Economic Recovery Omnibus Emergency Solutions Act, or HEROES. The HEROES Act is currently 1,800 pages with a price tag of $3 trillion. Much of which goes to a variety of progressive legislation. And a big concern in this bill is its pro-abortion and anti-family policies. For example, it provides a 100% subsidy to Americans who are currently on COBRA plans, which is offered to employees when they quit or are laid off from their jobs so they can continue their health coverage. But this is being done without honoring the Hyde Amendment, a piece of legislation that for decades helps prevent government funding from utilizing taxpayer money to fund abortions. Depending on how many people are currently on COBRA, which could potentially be millions, this bill would likely chip away at the protections that the Hyde Amendment has offered Americans. And notably, the bill also identifies abortion as essential work, which would impact multiple state bans throughout the country. Throughout this pandemic, there have been ongoing battles over whether abortion should be considered an essential healthcare service. Legal consensus hasn't been reached, and there's been cases going both ways back and forth. But abortion has always been portrayed by the abortion industry for decades as a choice. That's their whole thing. And so if it is a choice, shouldn't that mean that procedure is in fact a choice and therefore an elective surgery, which in many states were eliminated or had to be postponed during the pandemic. And this bill from Nancy Pelosi, if passed, would remove this debate from the courts and the public entirely. A pandemic should not be used as an excuse to overly expand government and push a radical, progressive, and pro-abortion agenda on the rest of the country. Instead, hopefully, the federal and state governments can focus on reopening the country and keeping people safe rather than passing another stimulus package worth $3 trillion that explicitly includes funding for abortion and removes pro-life protections. And of course, throughout this pandemic, we've already seen Planned Parenthood trying to influence the federal government as well as state governments to loosen or drop restrictions around the abortion pill, restrictions that are intended and do protect the health and safety of women. And they've been trying to exploit the current crisis to push and expand the abortion pill so that they can just send it through the mail without ever requiring a woman to actually have to visit or consult with a physician, and so that people can have, quote, self-managed at-home abortions. That's what they're pushing right now. While our entire country is going to extreme lengths and taking extreme measures to keep people safe and to try to save as many lives as possible, Planned Parenthood is continuing to push abortion and trying to end more lives. And last week, it was revealed that Planned Parenthood applied for improperly and received $80 million in coronavirus relief funds from the Paycheck Protection Program, and those funds are intended and were supposed to be given to small businesses. These are taxpayer dollars coming from the federal government that are meant to support small businesses as they battle the economic fallout from the coronavirus. And now America's biggest abortion company is rightly coming under fire for their fraudulent actions, and pro-life advocates are calling on the Trump administration to make Planned Parenthood repay the money. Reports indicate that Planned Parenthood, which is a major corporation with thousands of employees all over the country, that they received $80 million in loans from the Paycheck Protection Program intended for small businesses. That is, of course, despite the fact that the rules and regulations associated with this program specifically prohibited affiliates of larger organizations with more than 500 employees from applying. That clearly covers Planned Parenthood, as Planned Parenthood Federation of America alone has more than 600 employees. Now, apparently some 37 Planned Parenthood affiliates received the funds from the PPP, despite the abortion corporation being explicitly blocked from doing so. This caught a lot of people's attention, including one of our own senators from Nebraska, Ben Sasse, who in a statement said, "Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion business, tried to defraud taxpayers during the worst economic turndown since the Great Depression. The Paycheck Protection Program is supposed to be a lifeline for small businesses, not a slush fund for big abortion. The administration needs to reclaim that money and fire the bureaucrats who signed off on this scam." And that's correct. This is fraudulent and a gross misuse of taxpayer funds. U.S. Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, who serves as chairman of the Senate Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship, told Fox News that Planned Parenthood clearly violated the Paycheck Protection Program rules, stating, quote, "There is no ambiguity in the legislation that passed or public record around its passage that organizations such as Planned Parenthood, whose parent organization is close to $500 million in assets, is not eligible for the Paycheck Protection Program. Those funds must be returned immediately. Furthermore, the SBA should open an investigation into how these loans were made in clear violation of the applicable affiliation rules, and if Planned Parenthood, the banks, or staff knowingly violated the law, all appropriate legal options should be pursued." Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri tweeted, "The money needs to be recovered, and if anybody knowingly falsified applications, they need to be prosecuted." Thankfully, reports are also indicating that the Trump administration is already taking steps to recover the funds and investigate how the applications were approved. Now, I can't say that I'm shocked by this news that Planned Parenthood did this, that they took taxpayer money that wasn't theirs to take, but it should make a lot of people angry. And thankfully, it caught the ire of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. And in fact, he spoke about it on the floor of the United States Senate last week. This is what he had to say.
"And we learned yesterday that the nation's largest abortion provider, Planned Parenthood, abused this emergency process and grabbed tens of millions of dollars of taxpayer money for which they were completely ineligible. This is the organization that fired its new president last year because she was too focused on broader health issues and not sufficiently fixated on abortion above all else. Disrespecting human life is their central mission. And they just took advantage of a national crisis and helped themselves to tens of millions of taxpayer dollars they were clearly forbidden from taking. It goes without saying, the money must be sent back immediately, right now. As we shine a light on Planned Parenthood's misrepresentations, we cannot let their actions jeopardize this important program for the tens of millions of Americans who are benefiting from it rightly."
The money, of course, should be returned, but taxpayer dollars, the money earned off the backs of hardworking Americans, should never be taken by the government and then redistributed to abortion providers to help take the lives of innocent children in the womb through the use of taxpayer dollars. It's incredibly unjust, and it's wrong. And so to think that happened, of course, it's been happening for years, but to think that it happened during a global pandemic, during a national crisis, is a really tough pill to swallow. People are struggling. Businesses are closing. People are losing their jobs. And Planned Parenthood gets an $80 million government handout that they were never supposed to receive and never should have received in the first place. And so because of this, Republican senators, a lot of them, are now calling on the United States Department of Justice to investigate Planned Parenthood for fraud. 27 Republican United States senators have now sent a letter to United States Attorney General William Barr calling on the Department of Justice to open an investigation into Planned Parenthood. The letter was spearheaded by Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas and signed by more than two dozen other GOP senators, including Ben Sasse and Mitch McConnell, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, Tim Scott, and others. The letter lays out how clearly this Paycheck Protection Program, which was established by the CARES Act for small business relief, that it specifically and explicitly excluded large nonprofit organizations, including those set up as affiliates, from applying for that funding. And based on its most recent financial report, Planned Parenthood had total net assets close to $2 billion and total revenue of about $1.7 billion in the last fiscal year. The group operates hundreds of clinics across the country, organized into different affiliates, and employs about 16,000 workers. The cap for this program was 500 employees. Planned Parenthood has 16,000 and $2 billion in net assets. According to the letter from Senate Republicans, they want the Attorney General to investigate and prosecute those who would fraudulently steal millions of dollars in taxpayer funds during this pandemic. The letter states that these Planned Parenthood entities self-certified eligibility for these loans despite the clear ineligibility under the statutory text of the CARES Act. It was also well publicized at the time that the CARES Act did not allow Planned Parenthood affiliates to utilize these loans. And the letter points out that the Trump administration officials publicly clarified that the affiliate restriction meant no funds from the Paycheck Protection Program could go to Planned Parenthood. And despite that fact, dozens of Planned Parenthood affiliates applied for these loans and 37 received them. The letter demonstrates that Planned Parenthood executives themselves were aware that the program excluded them from applying for the loans. Quote, most damningly, Planned Parenthood's own political action committee, Planned Parenthood Action Fund, issued a statement on the CARES Act after the act's passage in the Senate saying the bill gives the Small Business Administration broad discretion to exclude Planned Parenthood affiliates and other nonprofits serving people with low incomes and deny them benefits under the new Small Business Loan Program. In other words, they knew and they publicly acknowledged that they were excluded from the loan program, and they complained about it. And they did that before dozens, 37 of their affiliates self-certified themselves as eligible for the loans and claimed them. So now it's not just that they applied for these loans and that they weren't supposed to, or they received this funding when they shouldn't have been eligible. They did it knowingly. They knew that this funding was not for them, not just that they couldn't have it, but that they're ineligible under the law from receiving these taxpayer funds, because the way it was set up, it's not intended and it's not for organizations like Planned Parenthood. And they sent out statements about it publicly and then turned around and improperly applied for and received and took the funding anyway. And if all of that is in fact true, that would constitute fraud. As the senators write in the letter, based on these statements, it seems clear that Planned Parenthood knew that it was ineligible for the small business loans under the CARES Act long before its affiliates fraudulently self-certified that they were eligible. As you know, fraudulent loan applications can trigger both civil and criminal penalties. The letter concludes by stating that the Paycheck Protection Program was designed to assist small businesses and small nonprofits in meeting payroll and retaining their employees during the coronavirus shutdowns. Quote, it was not designed to give government funds to politicized, partisan abortion providers like Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood fraudulently taking tens of millions of dollars that were intended to help keep those small businesses and nonprofit organizations afloat cannot stand and must be addressed. This should not be allowed to stand. It never should have happened. And apparently it would appear to be some bad actors, some bureaucrats who allowed for this to happen. But at the time that we're recording this, we're now learning that the Small Business Administration, who was responsible for dispersing the funds, is now demanding that Planned Parenthood affiliates return the money or face severe penalties. So that's a positive development, the situation that they're trying to rectify it and get those funds back from Planned Parenthood. This is why people have to pay attention. This is why elections matter, and this is why we have to continually engage with our government. Taxpayer money should not be used to subsidize abortions or the abortion industry, and certainly not during a pandemic. And this is also interesting. Recently, the New York Times came out with an article in which a reporter sought to go out and interview and talk to young Republicans to try and find out or identify what it is that is keeping young Americans in the Republican Party, or what the people that they talk to, why they identify with or choose to support the Republican Party. And the article hints that it is, in fact, abortion and socialism that's keeping young Americans in the Republican Party. In the article, the New York Times reports abortion is the only issue on which young Republicans lean right. Most of those interviewed said they were economically conservative, too, and several emphasized their support for Republican immigration policies and gun rights. But abortion is, very often, the issue that is sacrosanct, the one that outweighs their concern about climate change, for instance, and their dislike for the president. And that's really significant for the pro-life movement. That's fantastic news. And we know that support for life is growing in the younger generations and will continue to grow. And it was kind of surprising to see the New York Times even being willing to acknowledge or report on the fact that there are, in fact, many young people who vote the way they do because they are pro-life and because they don't want to see our country dive further into socialism or pursue socialist policies. And this issue matters because it goes to the heart of who we are as a people and how we treat the most vulnerable. And it doesn't matter about the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness if you don't first have the right to life. We have to protect the right to life. We can't get that one wrong. It's the most fundamental human right. And at Nebraska Family Alliance, we're dedicated to standing for biblical Judeo-Christian values and working to preserve our freedoms, to protect unborn children, and to advance godly values that will help transform our culture and government by influencing policy, mobilizing prayer, and empowering people. We want to see a revived America that honors God and strengthens families by transforming our culture so that families thrive, life is cherished and protected, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed freely. Protecting our freedoms requires real work and constant diligence from each of us. So, if you haven't already, we want to encourage you to visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, to learn more about our organization and how you can help partner with us to defend life and liberty and advance godly values in our state. That's all the time we have for this week. Until next time, I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.